Okay, Harry Potter fans, welcome back to Chatty Potter. Today's episode is all about Professor McGonagall, and we've got the internet's own McGonagall, Shan Wills, joining us just to talk about the woman herself. So, in just a second, we'll jump into that. Really quickly, though, remember you can support the podcast on Patreon. It's patreon.com/chattypotter. But with that said, let's jump into the episode. Chanel, do you want to start by introducing yourself and like what you do on the internet for the like one person listening who doesn't know who you are already?
Of course, yes. I am Chanel Williams. I'm a content creator on TikTok, Instagram, and right now YouTube. Hoping to move on to Twitch as well, hence the cat ears here.
Nice.
And I make Harry Potter content, namely the Potter parody series, where I stick my eyes on and my eyes and teeth on the pictures and then like roast the characters for the Jays. That's pretty much it.
I love it. What's the idea for the Twitch like expansion? Any thoughts on the kind of content you'll put there?
So I think with Twitch, it's not going to be just Harry Potter content. I want to do a lot of reaction stuff, some gaming stuff. To be fair, I do want to play Hogwarts Legacy on there. I think it might be really funny to have Professor McGonagall play Hogwarts Legacy. Because they feel like they would have a great team of that. I forgot to even say during my introduction that I do impressions. I do impressions.
Oh, like what?
Oh, yeah, you know, like Professor McGonagall, they're pretty much the Professor McGonagall of TikTok, no?
Absolutely are.
So that's fun.
Oh, my gosh, Professor McGonagall, like, reacting to shit on Twitch, like, would be hilarious.
I feel like there's such a, because that's the next thing, that's the next series that's going on my YouTube channel. It's going to be Professor McGonagall watching Harry Potter for the first time. And I think it's going to be so fun. I'm really excited for it.
That's amazing.
When I talk about this stuff, a lot of people are like, what? I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth half the time when I'm being Professor McGonagall. I feel like she literally possesses me. So I even get excited to see what comes out of it because I don't plan. I don't plan these things before I make them. So,
well, that's nice, I guess. That feels authentic, at least, that it's not super contrived. But do you get a lot of dross that you have to cut out if you're just winging it, or are you naturally that gifted and funny, you're saying, Chanel, that you can just go straight out with it?
You know, in the beginning, there was a lot, like, I would film a stitch and look at the stitch and be like, okay, that joke worked, that didn't, we're gonna start again and try. But these days, not so much. These days, I tend to just wing it and go for it and see what happens. And so I think one of the most recent ones I did was the Miriam Margolyes and the radish thing.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
That's the first time I've ever like broken properly in a stitch, and that's because I did not know that the poppy line was going to come out of my mouth before it came out of my mouth. I absolutely died. Bent your radish.
So good. I guess as you grow as you grow into it, it becomes like second nature, right? Like your personality for who you are, just spitballing, and the character that you've made almost to create this content, like,
yeah,
intertwine, and it just becomes natural for you to just spitball in character at that point.
I think for Professor McGonagall, definitely. She's been my favorite literary character since I was a wee one. So yeah, my headcanons for McGonagall are endless. I've planned her whole life story. You know, there's the canon life story that fits in with the backstory we were given. And then there's other ones. You know, I have multiple versions of McGonagall.
You've got a multiverse of McGonagall.
Yeah, there literally is. Because when I'm making something, I'm like, right, okay, this is TikTok McGonagall right here. So my reaction things that I do, that's my TikTok version of McGonagall, and then I have my film canon version of McGonagall, like how she would act in my head, and then there's the book canon version of McGonagall, and then there's Potter parodies McGonagall. So there's four different types, and they would all react to things differently.
Oh my god, I just got this vision of you in some back room of your house with one of those, like, you know, those like psychopath trackers with all these maps and strings between different kinds of McGonagalls.
Like, it makes me laugh because I all the time I'm like, guys, I'm not obsessed with Harry Potter, I'm not obsessed with Maggie Smith, but I can really understand how, like, watching me and hearing, like, the process that I make my content through, people would think that.
I mean, you say you can see why people would think that. Before you, when you went away to get water before we started filming, you were singing as Professor McGonagall off camera. You cannot pretend you're not a little bit obsessed with Maggie Smith.
Oh, I absolutely adore Maggie Smith. And yes, I suppose I am obsessed with her, but it's not in a weird stalker way. Like, I'm not going to turn up at her house. Like, it's okay. I know where her local Waitrose is, and I've never been there. I've never been to just camp there because that would be weird, but I do know where it is.
Some strong self-restraint. It's impressive. You know,
I did look on Google Maps how long it would take to drive there, but I would never go.
I feel like you've put the line you won't cross in the wrong place there, Chanel.
People say to me all the time, like, I would pay for you to meet Maggie Smith. Like, we need Maggie Smith to see this, all of this stuff. I don't want to, obviously, if Maggie Smith was like, yo, do you want to be friends? I'd be like, okay, cool. But I'm not, it's not an ambition of mine to meet Maggie Smith or to, like, see her in real life. Like, that's weird.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think you'd be embarrassed, like a little bit, like nervous that she'd think you were that obsessed, or do you think she'd recognize it's a character? You know, she's an actress; she'd recognize it's a character and a bit, right?
I hope that she would, but the idea of her like seeing my content and thinking that it's like disrespectful in any way would upset me. Yeah. But I don't think that she would. I purely She's been my favorite actress since I was 6-7 years old. So I don't really remember a time when Maggie Smith was not my favorite actress. Like, I got obsessed early. I feel like Maggie Smith has given me enough just from her body of work. I do not need to meet her. I don't need to know her, who she is as a human. Just who she is as an actress is enough for me. So I'm good.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really healthy relationship to have with your fave. Like, there's I don't know if you're a big like Bo Burnham fan, but there's like a bit that he says in one of his sets where he's like, if I fuck up, like throw me to the wolves, don't like stick by me through thick and thin, like throw me away, which I think is super important, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think especially now, I was thinking about it earlier actually, the way that social media is going, I feel like mentally we are nowhere near at the level mentally to cope with the way social media goes and is at the minute. And the fact that anyone, including myself, can just go on TikTok and grow a following in a year of nearly 3 million people, including, you know, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Nobody knows who I am or what my morals are or like all of that stuff. It's just, I mean, I'm very genuine with the things that I put out, but you guys don't know that. I could be crazy. So I would hope that everyone would, you know, hold their favorites accountable.
I suppose, speaking of the state of social media, I can't imagine Maggie Smith has got her own TikTok account, but probably people around her do. Like, what do you think are the chances she's seen your content? Like, what percentage wise how likely do you think it is that she's seen something?
Well, I got a message from somebody who sees her semi-regularly, and they said they were going to show her something, and I begged them not to.
Okay.
I was like, please don't. I don't want her to see it. Especially, oh my gosh, I cringe so badly looking at some of the older stuff because my impressions got so much better. It was never bad, but it's gotten so much better in the year that I've been doing it. But it's just the idea that somebody else gets to choose which video. So oh I begged them not to. And then I came back and was like, well, if you're going to choose one, pick this one.
Which one would you send her if you had to pick, just out of interest?
To be fair, probably the cat butthole one now. I feel like that really encaptured Maggie Smith's McGonagall rather than my TikTok one, who's a bit, yeah. done with the kids, you know, we're just having fun. Whereas that one, I really tried to put the butthole to bed.
I mean, completely impartially, I'm totally fine with that being the one she sees for no reason.
No, Maggie Smith has heard my voice.
Oh my gosh, I'd retire. That would be it, I think. Maggie Smith heard me talk about her character's butthole. I feel like that is a line you can't cross. Dreadful.
You look, yeah, man, you're talking about Maggie Smith's butthole. Like, and I was the great defender, so I'm happy with her seeing my contribution to it.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's not pick that one. Pick the pick the one of Miriam Margolyes. That one's much better.
Yeah, and then we'll just see how, whether Maggie Smith's there like, McGonagall's a lesbian. Love that.
Amazing.
How she feels about the character choice.
So cycling back, you mentioned that McGonagall was your favorite character, like always.
Yeah.
Did your impression of McGonagall come about because she was your favorite, or was she your favorite because you could do a good impression? Like this chicken and egg situation, what happened first?
So I think the world's aligned for me to be here, like doing what, honestly.
Wow, it's a real fate.
It's a proper on a level, okay? So Professor McGonagall was my favorite character in Harry Potter before Maggie Smith was cast as her.
Right, okay.
So she was already my favorite just because she was our first introduction to magic. She was mm-hmm. a cat.
Nice.
She was a G. She was just my favorite. And always, like, growing up, I've been a huge fan of that character who seems stern but actually has a heart of gold. They're always my favorite characters in anything. Mm-hmm. So Professor McGonagall was already my favorite. And then Maggie Smith got cast as her, and I was like, oh, my God!
And she was already your favorite actress by that point.
Yeah, already.
Amazing.
Because of the Secret Garden. So I was already like, yes, this Harry Potter series is going to be sick. I'm so excited. And then, as for the impression, I did not know that I could do this impression before I posted the Harry Potter accent challenge. I'd never tried to do a Professor McGonagall impression in my life before that challenge.
Right.
And I think it's probably a bloody good job, because if I had known, I would have been so annoying. So annoying.
That's so funny. And then you think it's like improved over time, but it was already solid, right, for it to take off like that.
So Maggie Smith, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Maggie Smith, she won her first Oscar for a film called The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie, where she plays a Scottish teacher.
Right, and, I've never seen it.
It's such a good film.
Okay.
She deserved that Oscar. She absolutely slays in every scene. But Maggie Smith recycled the same accent she used just 30, 40 years later. So it's exactly the same accent. It just sounds older. And that film was my favorite film. It was the first 15 rated film that I watched. So I was begging my mum, like, please, can I watch it? Please, can I watch it? She was like, no, you're 8, like, you're 9. It's 15. You can't watch it. I was like, please, it's got Maggie Smith in it. You know how much I love Maggie Smith, please. So finally she caved and she let me watch it. And when I tell you, I watched this film every day. Every day when I got home from school, I loved it so much, but I didn't understand anything that was going on because it was about like Mussolini and fascism and like it was about all of this stuff
beyond the realms of an 8-year-old.
Brody wasn't so much about, but a lot of the films I was watching at the time were about stuff I didn't understand, and particularly mm-hmm. Brody, because it broaches on like kind of dark subjects. And it was funny because watching it as a 9-year-old, I was like, these guys are all haters. Miss Brodie is a queen. I wish she was my teacher. And then I had a break from it and I rewatched it again at 13. And I was like, oh, Miss Brodie's bad. Like,
oh, man.
This is bad. Literally, like, because she was like, no spoiler alert, but the film did come out in like 1950 something, or like, it's old now. But she was like setting kids up with her ex-boyfriends. The kids are like young, boyfriends like 40. Like, it was bad. But as a child watching it, I was like, she's so like enigmatic and just, her accent's amazing. And I used to just practice the accent at home with my mum, and we just pretend to be Scottish all the time. And that's like where it started. So when I
love that your mum was in on it with you.
Oh, 100%. Every time my mum would come home from work, she'd be like, Miss Brody and Mr. Louder, they were kissing.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Could your mum do a McGonagall impression, do you think?
No, my mum's very bad at impressions. Sometimes she can do a Molly Weasley, but she doesn't know. She gets self-conscious because I'm quite good at them.
So right.
She doesn't commit fully.
Right. Yeah. I feel like you've got to throw yourself into it, right? Like otherwise.
100%.
That's it. Even if it sounds like crap, just go with it. Like I find that when I read the book, I'll just throw my accent. I've made Neville Scouse by accident, first of all.
I loved that. I loved that because I was in your live the other day and I was like, this is a choice. Love it.
Yeah, well, I feel like Scouse is usually such an aggressive accent or portrayed as such. And I was like, what if we have like a soft boy who's Scouse? Like, I think that'd be really nice.
Love that.
Thank you. My McGonagall sounds like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Painful. Somebody said, because when I came into your live, people were like, oh, you've just missed McGonagall. And I was so upset, but they were like, you didn't miss anything. These people are savages.
Honestly, they hate me, I swear. That's the only common ground with this community that I've built that listen to me read, is they hate me. It's the thing we have in common. Painful. But and I don't know how you stick with it. Like, I don't know about you. I find accents like so hard to stick to. Like once I'm like a sentence or two in, I'm into like three other accents and I just have to find a reset word.
It's really difficult, I find, because the McGonagall accent that I do, the Scottish accent, it is a Morningside Edinburgh accent. And if you had asked me before doing all of this to do like a Scottish accent, I would do a Glaswegian accent like Oliver Wood.
Right.
And now I find it so difficult to do any other Scottish accent other than McGonagall's.
Really?
And it's just taken over. It's the same with Irish as well. I'll start in an Irish accent and I will end Scottish. And it's like, damn.
Just like muscle memory, I guess, like from your mouth positions.
I've noticed some of my vowels going sometimes when I'm talking normal, when I'm like, that was McGonagall just there. Taking over.
I'm assuming you've got some non-TikTok friends. Like, do they find it that weird? Like when you slip, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you might not have, but...
I have no friends. No, I do. Well, it's weird because none of my friends are like proper Harry Potter fans. I mean, maybe one, and mostly when we meet up and talk about it, we're joking about the fact that I'm just like an old lady on TikTok rather than anything. So I don't really do the voice much with them. But yeah, it's just such an odd phenomenon, really. Mostly when I meet up with my friends, we pretend to be Charles and Diana more than anything.
Do you really?
Yeah, just that one scene where he's like, Camilla is who I want. That is where my loyalties lie. That is who my priority is. And then my friend is like, not the mother of your children. And we just do the whole scene together. We wanted to go to watch Spencer at the cinema and just be in the like Odeon thing, like doing the whole scene, but we decided not to in the end. Still kicked out.
The other fans of the royal family who are there watching it probably wouldn't appreciate your rendition.
They're like, no, Charles definitely wasn't a black girl. Like, it does make me laugh. It's the same with the McGonagall stuff, though. People who comment like, you can't be McGonagall, you're not black. I'm like, I'm also not 87. Why does no one ever bring that up? Like,
all
I'm
magic.
Not an old woman. Yeah, I can't turn into a cat and I've never been to Scotland. Like, why is the black the hardest part?
Do you get a lot of that? Like, is that quite a common commentary you get?
Not so much anymore. In the beginning, it was a bit. But honestly, I... Not to blame my own trumpet, but I feel like I get so many comments now that even that when I do get negative comments, I don't really see them. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time to go looking for them. And I think it's kind of good for my mental health to not go.
100%. Yeah.
Honestly, it makes me laugh. It's because when I say like hate comments, the ones that really hurt my heart the most, I probably shouldn't say about this because I'm just telling people how to hurt me, is when people say like, are your McGonagall impressions not that good? And I'm like, yes, it is.
Where it hurts.
Yeah, it's when Americans are like, oh, you said that wrong. It should be dance with a hard R. And I'm like, no, it's not. Oh, my God, Brett. I've got to the point, I was watching a deleted scene with Maggie Smith as McGonagall, and she said a word not in the right, like her accent slipped and she said a word wrong. And I was like, oh my gosh. Smith, no. She said the entire staff. And I was like, they should have been the entire staff. Look at that.
This was a deleted scene. Like, they didn't, they changed it for the final cut, I guess.
It was the one where Sir Cadogan was in there and Neville, like, after Sirius Black tries to stab Ron.
Yeah.
And low-key, I'm glad they cut that scene, because can you imagine if they kept it in and it's just like, Professor McGonagall goes in, I nearly got stabbed, and they're like, well, you didn't. Go back to sleep. Okay, Chris. All right, kids. Because in that scene, she's literally like, well, you nearly got stabbed. You didn't get stabbed. And I promise you, Sirius Black will come back. All right, good night.
I mean, Jesus that Christ. Is consistent with the stewardship at Hogwarts, to be fair.
It's like, so bad. They're like 11-year-old kids pissing themselves. Like, ah, we get killed.
Honestly, oh my gosh. I feel like we could get into how terrible the guardianship is around Hogwarts, but that's going to be another hour, so... Yeah. So I feel like there's something about McGonagall that makes her so, like, I don't think I've ever met anyone who doesn't like her character. And there's a lot of characters that sway, right? Harry, Ron, yeah. Hermione, like Draco, Snape, Dumbledore, all of them have, you know, however they're weighted, people who like and people who don't like. And I feel like I have never met anyone who has said they don't like McGonagall. Is there, like, what do you think it is about her character?
I think that for anyone... It's just really nice to see somebody who kind of seems humble, but is so capable. Like, I feel like of all the adults in Harry Potter, she's the one who, like, she's not out there for fame or glory. She genuinely just is there trying to do what's right, even when she gets it wrong. And I think it's important to acknowledge there are times Professor McGonagall could have done better. Like, for instance, if three kids run up to you and they're like, Philosopher's Stone, stuff's happening, and you already know that they shouldn't know about that, but somehow they do, and she's just like, shut up, go to bed. Like, she should have at least asked some questions. But, you know, there's plenty of times where she could have done better, but I genuinely believe that... there's not really an instance where Professor McGonagall doesn't do her utmost to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I think she has a very good moral compass, and it's hard to dislike someone, I think, who genuinely is putting everyone else first.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like softening her with those moments of, like, where she really shows she cares, like, in glimpses, she's stern most of the time, but those glimpses of, like, being soft and considerate and, like showing, like, a stern parent giving their kid a cuddle, basically, like those moments. I feel like without them, she feels a bit too harsh. But once you include them, she's like everyone's favorite grandma, isn't she?
Exactly. And I think that really, that was the reason that I love the character and I love Maggie Smith as an actress as well. It's a lot of the characters she plays, they're like hard to get kind of characters. Like Professor McGonagall would be hard to win over, but you know once you've won her over, like, she's there for you. She's got your back. Like, you can rely on Professor McGonagall. And, like, I feel like those are characters that you really value. Not to mention, she put Umbridge in her place. So, and everyone can agree that they hate Umbridge, apart from that one guy who was being a pick-me on the houses thing.
I haven't watched the show, but I've seen the clip, and I probably won't watch the show now.
Yeah, that one guy is like, yeah, Umbridge is my favourite character. It's like, all right, sure. Oh. But
I'm different from the other Harry Potter fans, guys.
But yeah, and like, so I feel like we really saw Professor McGonagall take some proper limelight in that book.
Yes. You know why that pops for me? It's because in The Prisoner of Azkaban and The Goblet of Fire, we are shown just how much or just how little patience McGonagall has got for Trelawney. Like, she does not like Trelawney. Soon as Umbridge comes in, she's like, fucking Team Trelawney.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the number of people who were like, oh, you know, when McGonagall's head teacher and, you know, Trelawney's there, I was like, babes, Trelawney's gone. What, like, Professor McGonagall is not letting Trelawney stay at Hogwarts. Like, she's not going to throw her out like Umbridge did, but, you know, she's going to get, like, early retirement or something. Professor 100%. McGonagall does not want Trelawney, the canon alcoholic Trelawney, is not hanging out at Hogwarts no more once Minerva's in charge of the staff.
Like, yeah, especially when they've already got Ferenc there, who's done such a good job as a divination teacher.
It makes me laugh so much. So many people comment like, "Ah, oh, Trelawney and McGonagall friendship." I'm like, they are not friends.
It's not happening. Like, not occasionally happening. They might meet eyes across Diagon Alley, right? And they'll be like, "Oh, remember that time with Umbridge?" That's it.
And she's got such like a wicked sense of humor, and I think that's something that maybe Maggie Smith brought to the role. But even in the just in the writing of the books, like the whole It Unscrews the Other Way is brilliant. One of my favorite. It's one of my favorites. And I think that's why Order of the Phoenix is one of my favorite of the books. Mm-hmm. Purely, I mean, even though Harry's whiny as hell.
So whiny.
But in terms of like character development for some of the other things and the parallel that is McGonagall and Umbridge, I enjoyed that so much. Because on one hand, you've got Professor McGonagall who looks stern, is always wearing black or green and doesn't look approachable. And then you've got this pink Jigglypuff who's like always laughing and whatever, but she's literally the Satan's born. Like,
yeah. You've got 100%.
Yeah, and like they just are the perfect nemesis for each other. So it's just so sick when at the end McGonagall comes back from St. Mungo's and she and Umbridge gets beaten by her cane.
Oh my gosh, that honestly, that scene of her coming back with her walking stick, right, and making Crabbe and Goyle carry her bags, and Snape's trying to take points from Harry, Ron, and Hermione and Luna and that, and then McGonagall's just like 50 points apiece for everyone. I wish they'd put that in the movies. That is such a badass scene.
I was so upset after Order of the Phoenix. I walked out of Order of the Phoenix at the cinema and I was so disappointed. It was my least favourite film for ages. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favourites now, but I was so upset because of all the scenes that they left out. And but yeah, when she comes back like Oprah with her walking stick,
gosh.
After taking 4 stunners to the chest, when Seven takes out a dragon, only has 3 days off work. 3 days! Right, Trelawney probably takes that off for a hangover. She comes back. She's Oprah. You'll get her. You'll get 50 points, and you'll get 50 points. Stick. No one can chat to her.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. Okay, I feel like 42 minutes in, people have got the point that we like McGonagall. So let's pull away from literary analysis. We'll jump into some like hypotheticals and some games. Yeah. First of all, I was wondering, as the official McGonagall of the internet, do you have any ideas for like some McGonagall themed spin-offs? Like everyone always goes to like Marauder spin-offs, Founder spin-offs. What can we have McGonagall doing?
Right, okay. I want the 7th year at Hogwarts while Harry, Ron and Hermione were on the run, but from McGonagall's perspective. I want to know about the espionage that was going on like between the heads of houses underneath the Snape regime and with the Carrows around. I want to know what Poppy was doing. I want to know how they were like smuggling pain relief potions to the kids and like trying to heal them up and all of that. I have so many headcanons for that. Like I could write it for them.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Because I've always thought...
I would love that.
That year from like Neville's perspective or like Ginny's or Luna's or whatever would be great. But actually they're going to be working very closely with McGonagall and her having to navigate the politics of the staff.
Yeah.
I actually think that's a far better angle for that 7th year. I think you're bang on with that.
I feel like it would be so sick. Like not only, because you know, Professor McGonagall knew something. She knew that Snape, there was a plan. She knew that something was going on.
Like, yeah.
And that Snape wasn't 100% bad. She didn't know why, but, and her trying to toe the line of that, trying to work out what's going on while trying to, you know, protect the students at the same time as not get killed or fired or all of that stuff. It's like tense. I feel like it would be sick.
Yeah, because I guess that's it. She can't, like, McGonagall would not stand by and not stand up for people, but she can't stand up too much through fear of getting fired and not being able to protect anybody. It's such a line to toe. Ah, please write that. That sounds fucking amazing.
I don't know. I was looking at one of my headcanon videos the other day and I saw you'd commented on it like, well, there goes my chirpy morning. And it was when I was saying about how when I was younger, I used to think about how she kind of would stay reserved enough to not attack the Carrows on behalf of the kids. Yeah. And it was, to me, I feel like it is that memory of Sirius Black. And you might remember the video,
Now you've mentioned the Marauders. Yes, I remember exactly what it is and how it did actually ruin my morning. Thank you.
But yeah, I feel like during that time, her memories of Sirius Black and just the fact that, you know, she really, the first thing you hear when you go to Hogwarts is like, your house will be like your family, and Sirius Black being sorted into Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. Professor McGonagall would 100% know what that would mean for his relationship with his family. And
absolutely.
Like, would genuinely take adopting Sirius Black into his Gryffindor family very seriously so that he had some support, some real support somewhere at least. And just really like loving the Marauders and watching them grow up, even though, you know, with detentions and all of that stuff, like she genuinely cared about them, I feel. And then to know that in Harry's fifth year, she lost control, essentially did not plan what she was doing. And so when she confronted Umbridge, when Umbridge was having those auras attack Hagrid, McGonagall got hospitalized. Harry didn't have anyone to go to, so he had to take his friends to the ministry, and Sirius Black died. And not only does she blame herself for not being there, for not being somebody he could go to, but she has to then watch Harry for the next few years really process the fact that he feels like he got Sirius killed. Yeah. And that would weigh heavy. I feel like 100%. That would weigh proper heavy.
Yeah, so you feel like this narrative for the seventh book, there'll be like lots of callbacks to that and her feeling like she has to like make up for it.
She has to not be in that position again. She has mm-hmm. to be there when the time is right, because she knows that something's going to go down. It's going to have to go down. There's going to be a battle at some point. She's got to be there and she's got to be ready to lead it. But yeah, so I think that would have weighed heavy on her. And at times when she probably felt like she had to step in, she had to do something, that would be what she was thinking about.
Yeah.
And she couldn't, because if she gets killed, if she gets injured, what's gonna happen?
Yeah. Oh my god, you were not kidding when you said you've got all these like deep dives into like how McGonagall is basically your personality, that you can figure out how she processes every little thing and how it impacts everything else, like basically your split personality.
It's Professor McGonagall. Yeah, she's like my spirit animal.
Amazing. Any other spin-off thoughts besides, I mean, that's a winner already.
So now that Warner Brothers and those guys have all decided that we can just change Professor McGonagall's date of birth all the time, because Professor McGonagall has had three dates of birth now. Yeah, so originally, I feel like people probably weren't Googling it back in the day when I was Googling it. So originally, J.K. Rowling had said in an interview that Professor McGonagall was born in 1935. Okay. She said that she was 70 years old when Order of the Phoenix was happening. She said that in an interview. And so people kind of was like, okay, well, that means that she was born in 1935.
Yep.
And then from her backstory, which kind of came out a few years later, you can work out from the different things that she was born in 1935 before? Anyway, it's 10 years later. First, she was born in 1925. Then she was born in 1935. But for her to be in Fantastic Beasts now, they've aged her up at least 40 years, which does not make sense with her backstory at all.
Yeah. Because I can't remember when Fantastic Beasts take place, but she's a teacher, isn't she? I watched it once and didn't love it, so I haven't seen it again.
She's a teacher when Newt Scamander was at school. When Lester Lestrange was at school, Professor McGonagall is there as a teacher. So they've literally aged her up at least 40 years, which makes no sense with her backstory. So unless they're going to say, well, Dumbledore sent her back in time, had a time turner, sent her back in time to help against Grindelwald, which even on top of that, girl has given enough to Dumbledore at Hogwarts. Like, leave her alone. Like, her backstory on Pottermore, the last line of it is, and no one, apart from maybe Albus Dumbledore, knows how much she suffered. And it's like, why you gotta do our girl like that?
Honestly, and it feels so avoidable, right? If memory serves, she didn't add much to the plot of Fantastic Beasts by being a teacher. And surely someone's there fact-checking, like, oh, she's supposed to be born then, so she couldn't be. Surely someone has got that job.
why is this lady a grown woman teaching at least 8 years before she was born? I think it genuinely, I feel like it was just fan service because it worked though, because they put her in the trailer for Fantastic Beasts 2 and I didn't like Fantastic Beasts 1, so I wasn't going to go and watch the second one, but then I had to go and watch the second one because it had Professor McGonagall in it.
And it was even worse.
And it was even worse.
Do you think you watched the third one?
Well, if I did not have this platform, I absolutely wouldn't. But I know because I have this, whenever I go live, people are going to be like, have you watched it? Have you watched it? What did you think about this? So I am going to have to watch it, unfortunately. But
you could do like a Parodies prequel with McGonagall in these scenes.
Just her, like, why am I here?
I'm negative 3 years old.
I'm not born yet. When are you? It does kind of go in with her her work ethic to just be there marking papers, not even born. Typical me.
She wasn't there for the kids with the whole serious thing. So she's like, well, I can't not be there for Newt. I'm going to have to... Got to put that effort
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Rise and grind.
I just wish, like, with Fantastic Beasts, and this is not me just crapping on Fantastic Beasts. Like, I'm happy there are people that do like it. And I knew myself going in, I was never going to like Fantastic Beasts as much as I like Harry Potter, because Harry Potter has the nostalgia. It was my bedtime story when I was 7 years old. And the last film came out when I was 17. And that was a whole journey of my life. So the nostalgia was never going to be there like it was for Harry Potter. But with Fantastic Beasts, I just wish that maybe they would like actually do what the titles are. Like when it was like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, I was like, okay, cool. So it's going to be like David Attenborough, but it's Newt Scamander and he's going around and he's discovering something. No.
Which I would watch the hell out of, by the way.
Exactly. Wouldn't that be so sick? Honestly, I feel like since Warner Brothers, they don't like me that much, but I feel like they should just let me write their stories, okay?
They also need you on set to check Maggie Smith's accent sometimes and fact check, apparently, birth dates. They could get like four roles out of you and they only need to hire one person. You're so cost effective.
I'd be so good at this. And think, like, Julie Walters doesn't want to come in one day, I'll voice Molly Weasley, don't worry. She'll just have to lip sync it after, it's fine. It'll
be like get the
TikTok.
Back of her as a body double, like, genius.
Exactly. And then Crimes of Grindelwald, what were the crimes? They didn't tell us. They were just
a big
like
blue fire
at
one point.
The Dark Wizard Grindelwald, and it's like, yeah, but what did he do? You didn't tell us. What's he done?
So we think there's going to be no secret from Dumbledore in this new one.
We know what his secret is, but they ain't going to say.
They're definitely not going to say it. They need the Chinese market. There's no way they're putting that in the Chinese market.
Exactly, it's true. Like, what can we do? And that's why, I mean, in Potter Parodies, I'm representing up the place. I'm making sure we've got everyone represented. I'm trying for it to make sure. And it does make me laugh how in Potter Parodies, I'm making sure that Lavender Brown gets to speak while she's still black. And then once she turns white, it's going to be extra funny.
Oh, I can't wait. It'll be so good. Okay, so we've covered a lot of McGonagall.
Yes.
Let's see what else is in your repertoire. I'm thinking... a sentence per impression, and I'll just throw characters at you, and we'll see how many we can do in what, a minute and a half.
Okay. How is speed the volume balance? Some of these are kind of loud, so I'm thinking how close I should be to the mic.
Whatever you're comfortable with. Well, I can edit the audio levels in post. Don't worry. You know what? We'll do we'll do TikTok length, so I can put this up as a teaser and steal your clout for content. Cool. We'll do 1 minute long. That's just my brand. Okay.
Great.
1 minute, and every time you've done a sentence, I'll read another character out to you.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. Start with McGonagall.
Welcome to Hogwarts.
Molly Weasley.
Where have you been?
Luna Lovegood.
You're not going mad. I can see them too. You're just as sane as I am.
Oliver Wood.
Snap. Wait, what does he say? You like it now. It's wicked fast, but damn near impossible to see. You catch this, Potter. Game's over. You catch this. We win.
Draco Malfoy.
Think my name's funny, do you? No need to ask yours.
red hair and a hand-me-down robe. You must be a Weasley.
That is amazing. That's one of your best ones, I think. Moaning Myrtle.
I'm Moaning Myrtle. And I wouldn't expect you to know me. Who would care about poor, ugly, hideous, moping, Moaning Myrtle?
Professor Flitwick.
The art of levitation, or the ability to make objects fly.
Oh, we've hit time. That was impressive. I think we got like... I think we got 7 or 8 there. That was well good. Very good. Do we want to do a round 2?
I feel like Oliver Wood messed me up because it took me long to think of something.
Okay, yeah. we'll go in for round 2.
Yeah.
Because I got way more characters here.
You together the good ones.
Okay, here we go. Start with Dobby.
Dobby, sure. Dobby the house elf.
Madam Hooch?
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to your first flying lesson.
Very good. Fleur?
You saved her, even though she was not yours to save, my little sister.
Umbridge?
Using spells? I don't see why you would need to use spells in my classroom.
Filch?
You've murdered my cat. I'll kill you. I'll kill you!
Run.
Yuck!
Oh. It's just noises. Stan Shunpike.
Okay,
We've paused the timer.
Okay, sick. Oh,
my cheeks hurt so much.
Stan Shunpike, okay.
Okay, ready when you are with Stan. Yeah.
Who is that? That is Sirius Black, that is.
Petunia?
Of course we knew. How could you not be? My perfect sister being who she was. My mother and father were so proud the day she got her letter.
Amazing. Lavender Brown.
Don't worry, one. I'm here. I'm here. You haven't spoken in weeks.
Creature.
Oh, filthy mudblood standing there as bold as brass. That's Master Regulus's locket.
Hagrid.
Okay, right. Not today, Tom. I'm on official Hogwarts business.
That was really good. That was better than I thought it would be, actually. Gilderoy Lockhart.
I didn't get rid of the Bandom Banshee by smiling at him.
And Hermione.
Pathetic. What a load of rubbish.
My Hermione is the actual, word. I find Hermione the hardest impression. Like, I have so much respect for Lucy. I watch her videos and I'm just like, how do you do it? I'm so jail.
I think it came across really well. That was good. Oh my word. I can stop the podcast. I feel like that's my favorite 3-minute segment ever. I can just stop now. It's the final episode. Thanks for watching, everyone. Oh my word,
my cheeks hurt.
Amazing. I've got to say, I was like thrown by how good your Draco was. Like that, I could have closed my eyes and that could have been an 11-year-old boy.
Well, I think I find it so much easier to do all of them pre-pubescent. Because obviously, I can't do men for Toffee. That's why Dumbledore talks like this. Because I can do an actual Dumbledore voice. Like, don't be silly. And, like, Snape is just... I just go as low as I can go and hope for the best.
Can I have a Snape?
Voice. Okay, right.
I can teach you the bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses.
Kind of just sounds like how you did Madame Hooch a little bit.
It is. No, do you know, I don't like to do them in the same parody. You might notice they never speak next to each other because they're basically the same, just Snape is lower. And also, Madame Hooch, when she comes in, she's like, good afternoon, Amanda. Good afternoon. Who the heck is Amanda? It's Amanda.
No idea.
No one goes here called Amanda, Madame Hooch. She's just coming to, she just pitches up because she's part-time, just calls the kids whatever she wants, breaks their limbs, doesn't care.
I was thinking about that actually the other day. It was like, they have one flying lesson ever. It's like, when does Neville learn to fly? He can't do it. He goes to the hospital wing and he never has another flying lesson. And so does it, is this woman hired to teach first years once and then just referee Quidditch and that's it, that's her job?
I feel like she lives her best life. And I have this headcanon where, because obviously she used to be a professional Quidditch player, that Dumbledore just hired her because she's like an ex-celebrity or whatever, so he's just gassed to have her there, and she gets paid like the same amount as Minerva, and Minerva's pissed.
Oh my god. And that's why Dumbledore went for Lockhart in the first place, thinking he'd be the same as her, like the celebrity. Yeah. And then was like, oh, he's fucking useless.
100%. And also, Hooch does, even with that, the bare minimum. No attempt to arrest Neville's momentum. She's just like, nah, let him hurt himself. He needs to learn.
Actually, the only teaching she does is put your hand out and say, up. And then it's just lean on your broom a bit. And that's it. That's the only learning.
And then she just leaves all the kids unsupervised. Like, Hooch is the worst teacher.
With these brooms. A bunch of 11-year-olds with brooms outside. A bunch of them have never flown. What's the worst that could happen?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Oh, my word. She's unhinged. I love it.
Speaking of spin-offs. I talked about it quite a bit because I am genuinely quite excited for the Hermione Granger spin-off that they're talking about, but Ooh. Only if they do it exactly how I say that it should be done.
Another role for you to have at Warner Brothers. Exactly. This is just turning into a video CV for you now, isn't it? Tell me how you want it.
So they're talking about this Hermione Granger spin-off, which either potentially is going to be a TV show or it's going to be a three-part movie series. Right. I don't think it needs to be a three-part movie series, but I do think it would be really interesting. Even I don't consider Cursed Child canon at all. Yeah. But if we're going down the Hermione is working at the Ministry route, I feel like it would be so interesting to have a slightly older aimed at a slightly older audience, and we can have House of Cards style, like political drama.
Oh yes, please.
Hermione Granger trying to work her way up. Obviously, Voldemort's gone, but blood supremacy is still there. And also, I want her to be working in a department where, because I was thinking about this the other day, so I want her to be working in a department where they kind of monitor what magical people are doing in the Muggle world. Because what's stopping wizards from just going out and obliviating people and stealing all their money? Nothing is. So I feel like she should go and work in like the fraud department. And then there's probably some wizard who's like tricking Muggles into voting for him so he can become an MP. Political drama. But anyway, the point of this is, with this House of Cards Hermione thing, under Kingsley Shacklebolt, because we've got characters that we know and love and we want to know more about, 100%. Is that I play Professor McGonagall's niece, who is the child of her brother Malcolm and Kingsley Shacklebolt's sister, and I can just do my accent and I'll just be like a sassy secretary or something.
Oh my god, I love it. Okay, give me a couple of years to get some funding together and we'll pitch it.
Thank you.
I'll fund the whole project. I will. When I say a couple of years, I'll need, for the money that these things cost, like 300 or 400-ish years, and then we're good.
Okay, cool. We'll get Nikki Flamel to lend us the Philosopher's Stone.
See
what happens.
I love that idea for a show, though. Like, the idea of, like, fraud and, like, magic in the Muggle community. I think that would be quality.
I feel like it would be so... There's so much they could explore with... Because I think it touches on in the books. I've read so much fan fiction in my life, I don't know what is canon and what is just canon from fan fiction now.
Sure.
But people talking about how Muggle-borns find it hard to... stay within the magic world, rather they take their magic back to the muggle world and just live their best life that way. Yeah. And surely someone's got to be keeping that under control, because you could just walk into a bank, obliviate everyone, like,
yeah,
and not even stuff like, just do a Confundus charm and get someone to sign their will over to, like, give you all their money.
Yeah,
you could do whatever. You could be out here transfiguring this bottle into money.
Yeah, or an animal, and then give it to someone as a household pet, and the next thing they know, it's turned back into a bottle.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but you could.
The mastermind of it.
Our two fraud plans are very different.
Well, because just the mundane things that you could do, little things. For instance, you've got a dog that's in Crufts, okay, and you want it to win, you can just give it some, just transfigure it a little bit. Oh, its hips are a bit wonky. Like, you sweat it out. You can win at Crufts now. Who's monitoring this? It's not there.
There's so much magic corruption in the muggle world. We need people on that.
And Hermione's the best person to do it, because she's magic and she's muggle. She understands the struggle.
Well, 100%. I had Dan on this podcast, Yeet a Zombie from TikTok, and he said he's fully in the headcanon that Hermione would marry a muggle. Like, she'd marry a muggle or a muggle born or something. Like, Hermione and Ron, whether you ship them or not, regardless, like, Hermione abandoning the muggle world completely is sort of not going to happen. So she'd go back, she'd marry a muggle. And I love that theory.
Yeah, I think it's really nice. I think... there's the whole, because of how old witches and wizards live, I know there's already discourse about whether muggleborns and purebloods live different, like all of this stuff. But yeah, I just think it would be nice. I think that would I like that. And I don't ship Ron Miney personally. I don't hate it, but it's not.
I feel like we're on touchy grounds with shipping, right? Like, if you say you don't like someone's ship and they're like down your throat.
I'll wake up tomorrow and there's no followers now. It's all just all gone. But I just think generally, I just wish that the epilogue just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Because the idea that these kids who lost out on their entire childhood because they were fighting battles, first thing they did was get married and have kids. Like, can't they go and find themselves first?
Right.
Can't they travel? Can't they do stuff?
Yeah.
And meet people who aren't just their school friends.
That's it. As if you'd marry your childhood sweetheart. Like I always default to Harry and Ginny. I'm like, fine. They were great high school relationships and stuff. But Harry has never known himself outside of the role of the Chosen One, right? He doesn't actually know who the hell he is. He doesn't know what interests him in the world. Like, he's just been like, oh, I'm the Chosen One and I have to defeat Voldemort. And now Voldemort's gone. And I guess I'll marry the person that I'm with without going out and living my life or getting to know myself separately. Just like, let him marry a random person from a different country, like, away from all the drama of him being the boy who lived, right?
Exactly. I feel like Hermione, UN Ambassador Emma Watson's Hermione, would be out going to travel and see stuff and, 100%. Like, actually learn about herself rather than, especially, these guys on average are living to 144. You're getting married at 20. That's the next 120 years you're stuck with this person. You're going to tell me that Hermione and Ron are staying together? Absolutely not.
No way. No way she is mothering him for that long and not getting sick of it.
No. She's palming him off with Molly. Like, go back. You can live at home.
100%. Gosh. So there's a couple other things, actually, I wanted to talk about. I read the other day, actually, that it's canon that Hermione becomes Minister for Magic in 2019, which means, based on the chapter of the other minister, that her and Boris had that interaction. Any thoughts on that interaction?
I was about to say, a blue passport.
We will get all wizards blue passports.
Oh my god. Poor Hermione, man. Poor Hermione. She's just out there. I feel like if Hermione saw Boris, she'd be like, okay, I'm coming back to the muggle world. I'm going to do politics in the muggle world because these guys need saving. They 100%. Genuinely need saving. But that does remind me of what I was talking about earlier. Don't you think it's a bit of a dick move of wizards and stuff to not help us with our recycling? Like, why aren't they going to landfills and landfill and transfigure it into recyclable stuff? Like, please.
Yeah.
They're not helping us out.
That's a good point, actually. Surely, like, we could revolutionise our technology if people with magic just came along and lent a hand.
You're telling me that they haven't got some cool, like, cancer cures or something? I bet they do, and they're just not sharing, and it's kind of wrong. So I feel
Madame
like Hermione
Pomfrey 100% could cure any Muggle illness, like, without question.
She can grow bones, man. So I feel like that's what Hermione has to be in the spin-off. She can head this department about the integration of magic and Muggle. Like, it'll be sick.
I love it. Overthrow Boris. Yeah. Converge the governments together. Here for
Done.
It. Here for,
Done.
Although, if then Cornelius Fudge was in charge of that converged government, that would be a nut. Or someone like Fudge.
Oh my
what a
gosh.
Fucking nightmare that would be.
That would be quite something.
Speaking of integrating Muggle and magic lives, I wanted to talk about going back to McGonagall. What do you think her life would be like as a Muggle? Because I want your insight into, like, her job, her hobbies, her favorite TV show, what she does in her spare time. Like, what do you think she's like as a Muggle?
I feel like Professor McGonagall is, well, if we're going to go with the same, she's still widowed and she's still, I feel like her favorite program is Murder, She Wrote. She loves Murder,
nice.
She Wrote.
She always like, susses it really early as well.
Exactly. She knows. Because Murder, She Wrote, anyone who does not know about what that is, it's about a woman who used to be a teacher who writes crime novels and then people keep dying and she's just solving up the crimes. That's Minerva McGonagall. Like, she'll be living her dreams through Jessica Fletcher. She loves that. McGonagall loves true crime. I feel like she does. She sits there with her knitting and her needlepoint and she loves a bit of true crime.
100%.
For a job, I feel like she's such a teacher, though. I feel like maybe don't you think she'd make a really good university professor? Like,
yes,
I can see her being a lecturer at a real good university.
100%. Yeah, because I feel like McGonagall would gladly have the air about her with like high school kids. You can't be like, well, if you don't want to be here, bugger off, like, because they sort of have to be there by law. But university students, she should be like,
yeah,
if you're gonna mess around, don't be here. I don't need you here. I still get paid. Go away and let me teach the people who do want to be here. That is such a McGonagall attitude.
Yeah, and I feel like she would absolutely slay at a university, and she has 10-year, like, she's just living her best life at some university where she gets paid too much. And it would be sick. What else?
I'm presuming she's got cats.
See, I feel like she has a little Scottish terrier called Fergus, and it's got a tartan coat.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah, no, she walks it and she's got like a picture of her and the dog above the mantle.
Oh my god, she's Aunt Marge.
But yeah, like the good version. Yeah. Oh my god. I feel like because she is a cat, so I feel like she is a moral dilemma to actually have cats yourself.
I suppose so,
if you
yeah.
are one.
Yeah, that's a fair point,
because then they'll
actually
be like, you're not that much better than me. I've seen you pee outside.
Seen your butthole.
Exactly. Because it'd be weird. They'd just try and lick her, and then it would just be odds. I feel like the dynamic of having a cat when you are a cat is weird.
Yeah, fair. All right, you know what? Fair point. I take that. You can have your little Scottish terrier called Fergus with a tartan coat.
Yeah. And what else? I feel like she's got a nice car. She can definitely drive. I feel like Professor McGonagall can drive.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love that. We are at almost an hour and a half. This is like twice as long as my regular podcast episodes are. So we're probably going to have to wrap up in a sec.
Of course.
Not that it's been a bad thing. It's been an absolute delight chatting to you, Chanel. But I do have a bunch of questions that I tend to ask people at the end of these podcasts, which I think is somewhat controversial, if you're quite happy for me to ask them.
Yes, go for it.
I'm going to ask them, and you can feel free to either answer as yourself or as McGonagall, or give me both. Totally up to you.
Okay.
I'll leave that in that ball in your court. First of all, if you had to delete an entire house from Hogwarts, which house are you removing?
I've been asked this before, and I feel like mine and Professor McGonagall's would be the same, but I will probably get a lot of hate for this. I'm actually going to say Gryffindor.
Really?
Which I know is a controversial, but I feel like, okay, people ask me to rank houses all the time and I think it's bloody stupid, because we need, everyone has the traits of everything. We just have them in different balances and it takes all sorts to make our day, all right? So I feel like Gryffindor is literally the place where everyone who's just kind of a show off and obnoxious gets put so that other people can have peace. If we get rid of Gryffindor, everyone would have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone would, it would just, we'd be the annoying ones. Because I'm a Gryffindor, so I'm allowed to say it. But
okay.
I do think...
You think Gryffindors are show-offs?
Yes, I do think, like, a lot of us are. But I think when you look at kind of the traits like boldness and courage, and that's, you can find mm-hmm. that in every house. There are brave, courageous people in every house, and loyal people, you know. And I feel like the main thing that makes a Gryffindor is the want to be a Gryffindor. And if Gryffindor didn't exist, then you wouldn't want to be, you wouldn't know about it, so you would be in another house. So.
Uh-huh. No, I like that. I think that's a good answer.
Thank you.
I think it's controversial. You think that would be McGonagall's answer, though? Do you honestly think she'd get rid of Gryffindor?
I do. I mean, Professor McGonagall is the longest hat stall in history, actually, in recorded
history. Is that right?
Yes, Professor McGonagall was a 5.5-minute hat stall between Gryffindor and Ravenclaw. And the hat couldn't decide whether she was smarter or braver.
Right.
So, yeah, and Phileas was a hat stall as well. And, like, McGonagall and Phileas, like, joke about how if it had been the other way around, they would have been the heads of each other's houses.
That's so... Is this more... This is extra stuff
this
on Pottermore again.
This is more Pottermore stuff, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd need to deep dive that website. I feel like any time I've gone on Pottermore, it's just to do the sorting quiz.
Yeah.
Check I'm still a Slytherin and then leave again.
Well, some of it's utter rubbish, like, you know, wizards poo themselves.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Oh God.
Well, I just want to know, like, if wizards poo themselves and they're not allowed to do magic until they're like 17, do they have to be like, oh, Professor McGonagall, can you banish my poo please? When they're at
home. If you're muggle born. I suppose if you're muggle born, you've got a muggle toilet. That's never mind. Wait, no, they didn't have toilets. Wait, what did muggles do before plumbing?
Chamber pots.
Okay.
Just out the window.
But you're right. Can you imagine, forget Muggleborns, can you imagine like a 16-year-old wizard in the summer holidays still having to act like a toddler, like, Mum, can you come and wipe my bum for me, please? Clean my trousers.
Especially because, you know, like when... Never mind. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Right, was it about to take a turn?
Yeah. So, anyway... What was your next question?
Next question. If you could get a magic tattoo that moves around like the portraits move, what tattoo would you want? And how would it move?
Okay, I feel like maybe people will be mad because it's not a Harry Potter answer.
It's okay.
But I would get the Black Rabbit of Inlay, which if you have never read or seen Watership Down... The Black Rabbit of Inlay is essentially like there's the God of Rabbits and then there's the Grim Reaper of Rabbits. And they're like one and the same. They're two sides of the same coin. And when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Watership Down. And whenever I was like scared or upset, there's this like bit that the God Rabbit says to the other rabbits. And I would just recite the bit to myself whenever I was scared. And so like the Black Rabbit of Inlay is like a really, even though it's the Grim Reaper. It's like a really comforting thing for me. And it's like a black and red rabbit. And I would have that. And the whole point of the text is like, how does it go? It says, the whole world will be your enemy, prince with 1,000 enemies. And whenever they catch you, they will kill you. But first they must catch you. Digger, listener, runner, prince with a swift warning. Be cunning, full of tricks, and your world will never be destroyed. And the idea that the rabbit moves around, they'll never be able to catch it. So it works.
Oh my word, I love that.
Yeah. So that's
really,
what I,
like,
yeah.
Really good answer. I've asked that a lot, and that is my favorite answer so far. So good. Also, I feel like sentimental as well, which tattoos often are for people. Brilliant. Anything for McGonagall?
I feel like the conventional answer is like she's got a tabby cat wandering around. A tabby cat somewhere. It's just yeah, I feel like maybe she can have, I don't know. No, she couldn't get a star sign because she hates Trelawney so much, but she is a typical Libra. What would a typical Libra get?
Like star signs are way over my head. I have literally no idea. I don't understand. But sometimes people are like, oh, when was your birthday? And I tell them, they're like, oh, you're a Scorpio. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm, does it?
What does that mean?
What is it? Yeah, literally, I have no idea. That feels like I'm sat in Trelawney's lesson when they say that to me. And I'm just like, I don't understand what's happening here, but okay.
Yeah, I just see, I was supposed to be born. Listen to this, okay? This is another thing like stars aligned, right? I was supposed to be born 3 weeks earlier than I was, and I just refused to come out. And I just stuck it in, like, I just stayed in my mum's womb. I was like, no, I'm not, I'm waiting. So that not only could I be born as an Aries instead of a Pisces, no offense to all the Pisces listening, so that I could be an Aries, but so that I was born on Gryffindor Pride Day.
I didn't even know there was a Gryffindor Pride Day.
Yes, the 22nd of March is my birthday, and it's also Gryffindor Pride Day.
Nice. Not long.
Yeah,
oh, my word. Can you imagine if you'd been born that day and you were in a different... You were a Slytherin.
I know. Because I think Slytherin is the 23rd. I think the next day is Slytherin.
What, of March?
Yeah. There are four consecutive days in March. I think 20...
Oh.
21st to the 20...
Oh, your knowledge of this universe astounds me.
But like, not where it counts. People always tell me, Chanel, you got this wrong. Oh, do you know where it was? It was the Bartik, Red Sparks. I forgot Barty was dead. And I had Professor McGonagall talking to Barty. But I just like the way she says Bartik. It's the Bartik.
Oh my God. That should just be a recurring bit anytime she needs to draw anyone's attention to something alarming.
Barty,
the Chamber of Secrets. Sorry for the accent. Oh my God, my French is so bad. Dreadful.
The Chamber.
Or like literally anytime I try and do a McGonagall impression, it's like I have to say the word Scottish to reset my accent. Yeah. And then I sound like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Nice.
All I can do. Painful. No.
Do you know what really hurt my heart is that at Comic-Con, okay, it was fine because Natalia Tenner told me that my Professor McGonagall was a 10 out of 10. So, and
nice.
We were like hanging out and we were besties. But I asked Sean Biggerstaff and he said that I needed to work on my accent.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. I think, Do you know what it was? I think because he was my first crush, I was nervous while I was performing it to him. So it didn't sound as good as it usually does. I'm going to say it was. That. That's why
like the wavering voice.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, I did. I should have said like I'm not even into men now. But you were my first. Stay alive,
I'm gentlemen. Sorry. As a person growing up seeing Harry Potter, Percy Weasley is the person you attached yourself to.
What? Percy Weasley? No, Oliver Woods.
Oh, Chris Rankin, excuse me. I had Percy in my head that entire time.
That would have been a really Percy thing to do, though. Yeah, you've made this whole platform based on that you're McGonagall, 8 out of 10. Now Sean Biggerstaff. Now Oliver Wood.
Right, and Sean Biggerstaff is actually Scottish, is he?
Yeah, that's what made it right. Hard more.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, mate. Oh, that feels like it hits harder than when I first imagined it being Percy Weasley saying that to you.
Because I have loads of people from Edinburgh tell me that my Morningside accent is incredibly good. But
wow, really?
He wasn't feeling it. Yeah, which is always, it's always the nicest when Scottish people tell me that it's good.
Do you want to share your biggest unpopular Harry Potter opinion? Because I feel like people have these hills they will die on. And I want to know what yours is and then fight you on it.
Okay. I feel like I don't have that many unpopular opinions. I think a lot of people struggle with the fact that Umbridge is not my least favourite character.
Okay, who is?
Peter Pettigrew.
Okay, yep, good substitute, I think.
I don't like Peter Pettigrew, and at least Umbridge brings something to the table. Firstly, at least we get the best Professor McGonagall scenes. Like, don't get me wrong, I hate her, but Umbridge has value. And also, at least I believe she baths.
Yes, important aspect.
I don't believe, like, I definitely would rather be stood in a room with Umbridge than I would be stood in a room with Peter Pettigrew. Because if she tried to make me use a blood quill, I would punch her in the face. Peter Pettigrew, I would not want to touch him. Like,
that's fair. You'd be scrubbing your fist for weeks. Also, I feel like Umbridge has motivations for her evil. You can almost whilst you wouldn't make those decisions yourself, you can comprehend her decision making to get to where she is. Peter Pettigrew was just a coward, so he sells out his best friends. Like
I have not done much like sleuthing into Peter Pettigrew's character. I'll be the first to say I'm probably biased because I don't really care about Peter Pettigrew. I've not like tried to see things from Peter Pettigrew's perspective. I feel like Umbridge is a really interesting kind of representation of where, you know, the whole girl boss trend went too far and the whole gaslight gatekeep girl boss, like Umbridge really took it and ran with it. At least, like, she really, like, she's ambitious, at least. She's trying to be a strong, independent woman. She's just really going about it the wrong way. So I think probably that is, like, just because I don't hate Umbridge as much as people would like. Other than that, I think my biggest thing is I truly believe that the extreme antis and the extreme simps are just as bad as each other.
Yes.
Within this fandom. That is a true belief of mine. Like the extreme pro Snape and extreme anti Snape, they the same.
It's a circle. They come back to the same point. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's probably my other one. Because I see those guys literally threatening each other with death in my comment section sometimes. And I'm like, damn, are you okay?
Oh, my word. Yeah. I feel like I have upset pro Snape TikTok. Like, I was getting stitches because I called Snape trash in a video and I was getting stitches calling me a bully for that. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's bullying, like, insulting a fictional character.
And like, I feel that maybe they don't understand how British people are. Trash, I feel like, is a mild lie. I will call.
Right.
Sometimes my cat is acting trash and I love her still, but she'd be acting trash.
Well, I did, you know, the iPhone unlock trend where you did the face ID thing. I just held up a black bag of rubbish and said it POV, it's Snape's phone, which I thought was hilarious. Other people certainly did not.
Oh my God, it's so funny. But I just think, like, proper simpery, like, no, not simpery, but when Stan, like the whole Stan thing, when somebody stands something really good and proper, I feel like it just kind of gets across a level of insecurity in that somehow. Like, for instance, I would consider Maggie Smith is my favorite actress, and I personally do believe she is one of the greatest actors we have ever seen, will ever see. Like, I think she's brilliant. But if someone turned around to me and was like, I'm not really into Maggie Smith's acting, I prefer Judi Dench, that would not bother me in the slightest. Like, I'm secure in knowing Maggie Smith is the best. Like, I don't need other people to believe it too. In fact, it's like, I don't have to share it that way. But people really be out here trying to change each other's minds, the antis and the pros. Like, we can all get along, you guys. It's okay.
I hear you. Although, I do have to say, since you were so anti-Wormtail a minute ago, I just... I feel like if ever... You know how you were saying if they made a spin-off or anything and you could be a character, you'd be like McGonagall and like her niece, who was...
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'd be a Wormtail in a remake. I feel like it's the only character I can... It's the only character I can reflect.
Oh my God. Raven, serious, wonderful friend.
Oh, amazing.
But the thing is that I don't like him. But if someone turned around and was like, Chanel, Wormtail is my favorite. I've got all these headcanons and, like, I feel like the reason he did this was because this. I'd be like, I love that for you. Like, that's great.
Yeah. You do you. By all means, live and breathe it.
We're still friends. It's like the same, but I don't ship Dramione. I hate Dramione personally, but that doesn't mean I hate you because you do. It's chill.
That's such a... That is far too of a laid-back attitude to be someone on the internet. You realise that.
I know. I was not meant for this, Brett. Honestly, I was not meant for it at all.
Oh, amazing. Okay, final question so I can go and have some dinner. You're on a date and it's going really, really well.
Yes.
Until they say something about Harry Potter that is enough of a red flag that you get up and walk away. But based on what you've just said, I feel like there's nothing they could say because you'd just be like, I'm chill, you do you. But is there anything that they could say which would make you be like, not my kind of person?
It would just have to be McGonagall slander. Like, I can take anything besides McGonagall slander. And it has to be slander. There are things that they can rip on McGonagall for, but they have to be warranted.
Yeah, like that Philosopher's Stone thing you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, like if people bring that up, and the whole, like, you know, that deleted scene where she's like, oh, you nearly got stabbed, and he's definitely coming back, but yeah, it's fine, just go back to sleep. Like, those things, you can probably, but if somebody turned around and was like, yeah, Professor McGonagall, I can't even think of a thing for people to say, because there's nothing to say. She's just a queen.
No, perfect. Just bang it.
Just a legend. She's an icon. She deserves to have her Age of Aquarius moment, you know. This is the dawning. Like, as she sits into her, like, head teacher desk for the first time. That's the song.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That needs to be the end of, like, a Harry, not the Cursed Child, but a Harry Potter play. Gospel music.
I know I'm saying don't tell anyone, but we're telling anyone. But it is fine. But everyone can hear. But that is what I have planned for the end of Potter parodies. Like, when I've finished all of it and completed the final film, that's the ending shot. It will be Professor McGonagall sitting at her desk for the first time. And we'll have, like, Dumbledore and Snape, like, when the moon is in the seventh house. And then it will just, yeah, that will just round it off really nicely with the dawn of a
Amazing. Oh, I can't wait for it.
Right.
Thank you so much for talking to me about, I think, everything. I honestly think we have covered everything in the world in this podcast. Yeah. But thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight.
Like, nearly 2 hours and we didn't even talk about Cursed Child. And, like, that's just a great gift to me. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I still had about 7 other talking points, like ships and the questions you get on lives and stuff. But I guess I'm going to have to ride your clout again a little while later, and you can do another episode. 100%. Oh, and if you ever do the Harry Potter content creator Squid Games, please can I play?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. It'll be sick.
Nice. Is there anything you want to plug before we drop off?
I don't think so. I mean, you can, if you want, you can follow me on YouTube, Instagram, and if you don't follow me on TikTok as well. I am a Shamwills Zero on YouTube and TikTok, just Shamwills without the zero on Instagram. And yeah, we've got some very exciting things coming to YouTube, including Professor McGonagall watches Harry Potter for the first time. I also haven't seen the Marvel films, so perhaps Professor McGonagall can watch Marvel for the first time too. So hit me up.
Amazing. I can't wait.